You can read your bulletin. That's why we put it out. Donna does such a good job. And she just loves the color on it. Puts in pictures, colored pictures. We all love it. And there's a report there concerning Alan, his missions trip to Sri Lanka. It looks like it's going quite well. And a lot of that is because of our prayers as a congregation, and our support for him and Pastor Pradeep. So I'm going to let you read what's in here about that, but we do want to pray for them. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Alan Erickson to you right now. We thank you, Lord, that he is an extension of us here in this congregation, and that wherever he goes, he senses your presence. He senses the prayers of your people. And we're praying, Lord, first of all, for his protection, your angels surrounding him and the team that is with him, and also the congregation. And as they gather in conferences, that your protection would be around those conferences and around those venues. Lord, I pray for a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God through Alan as he ministers the Word of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles following your word in the name of Jesus. We believe he is and will continue to be a great blessing to the people in Sri Lanka. So, Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity to minister in Sri Lanka, and thank you that Alan is willing to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Anything else, Donna? Oh, yeah, I better read what you have highlighted here. See, she gives me these papers, and I still don't read them. But I did talk about the men's breakfast. Clean up. Please consider being a help to clean up the kitchen. Brad's out there looking around the door. Brad and Ralph do such a great job in preparing foods for us, right? And they're busy today. They have the fellowship dinner, and then they have the Super Bowl party to cook for. So please consider being a help to clean up the kitchen at the end of the Super Bowl party. It would be greatly appreciated. Did I get everything now, Donna? All right. You know, Donna does such a great job. Amen? Let's just give her a hand. We affirm her in this. Of course, I haven't been here, you know, in the past number of years. I was here more recently, and I've just seen how Donna has risen up in leadership. She says she was behind the scenes before, but it's just great to see the grace of God upon her to give leadership to this congregation. And she does all the work. We talk and we plan, and she does a lot of the work. But we appreciate it very much, Donna. Thank you so much. All right, let's get into the Word of God. Hopefully you can focus as we feed our spirits today. I mean, I could eat a hamburger right now. I think that's what they're making. Huh? I should move up. She's making signs. And I'm wondering what she wants. So that's signs and wonders. She wants me to move this up. Ugh. All right. Is that good? Better. Is my shirt okay? Okay. And back of my shirt all right? Yeah. Thank you. Oh, my. We flow as a team. She keeps me straight. And hopefully she keeps me looking good. She tries, at least. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It's so precious, Lord. I mean, just we have this book, or in our phones, or wherever it is, we have the Word of God available to us. It is something in the physical. It's your voice to us in the physical. So we appreciate and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it is a foundation that will never be shaken. We thank you that today we can build that foundation into our lives a little bit more so that our lives will not be shaken by everything that happens around us. We do thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for Holy Spirit living in us,
yes,
guiding us, directing us. We thank you that Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one who quickens the Word of God on the inside of us, even gives us the ability to hear it and then to apply it to our lives, causing it to come alive on the inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Last week, I had put a sermon together, and sometimes I wonder if I'm going to have enough. But I have found that when God gives me a certain message, many times I... So last week we talked about why do bad things happen. And we talked mainly about the idea that many people have that when something bad happens in our lives that we're being punished for something. We dealt with that from Luke chapter 13. Remember? Do you remember?
Yes.
Or should I preach it again? Luke chapter 13, it talks about how the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him about these Galileans that Pilate had killed and mingled their blood with the sacrifices. And then the second example was where there was a tower in Siloam, which is in outskirts of Jerusalem, I think, if I understand it correctly. And either the tower fell and killed 18 men or workers. I am very familiar with construction. And so maybe they had scaffolding around the tower. I don't know what happened. But maybe OSHA didn't come in and check it. Right about Joe. Joe is also in construction, so he knows what I'm talking about. And maybe they didn't check it or something where something fell over, either the scaffolding or part of the tower, and it killed 18 men. And Jesus asked them, do you think they were any worse than all the rest of the people in Jerusalem or all the rest of the people in Galilee? And he makes it very clear that every person needs redemption. And no matter how good of a life I have lived, like I shared with you last week, I didn't get involved in some of the things that my brothers and sisters did because I got saved when I was 12 years old. But that doesn't mean that I didn't need a Savior. Because Jesus said we're all in the same boat. We all need a Redeemer. Amen? But the question still remains with a lot of people of why things happened to those that are good or bad, or why good things happen or bad things happen to either good or bad people. So we usually narrow it down, says why do bad things happen to good people? We talked about three different things. We didn't really talk about them, just mentioned them. One of the things is because we live in an evil world.
Yes.
Amen. We live in an evil world. Sometimes things happen to us because of our consequences of our actions and decisions. And sometimes we just simply follow after the flesh and make decisions according to our flesh. And I think that also opens the door for things to happen in our lives. We don't have all the answers, of course. And sometimes when we don't have the answer, we just have to admit we don't have the answer. Why did this happen? And I also caution us that whenever things happen to somebody, that we don't get over into a judgmental realm of thinking, well, why did that happen to Randy? Or why did that happen to Kathy? Why did that happen to the such and such a person? And if we're not careful, we get over into trying to figure out why it happened to somebody. And we come up with, oh, maybe they did this and that. See, that's judging. And if I have that kind of judgmental attitude, I will not be effective in ministering to that individual. And times like that, regardless of the reason why it's happening in a person's life, is when we need to gather around an individual and not judge them, but minister to them in love and mercy.
Yes.
Amen?
Absolutely.
And then let God deal with them. We don't have to fix the situation. So turn into your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk a little bit about another reason is, you know, we said because the world is evil. And then also because of the enemy. Sometimes it's attacks of the enemy. Now, we know that indirectly, Satan is responsible for the evil in the world, indirectly. But that doesn't mean that you're dealing with Satan every day in your life, because he's not omnipresent like God is. But you may be dealing with demons and that are under his control and his command. So let's approach these scriptures in that vein this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, you know this scripture very clearly. It says, finally, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And this is after all the things that he shared in Ephesians up to this time, up to this statement, because he had shared about who we are in Christ, and then he talks about how we should live. Then he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, we have heard many, many sermons. I'm assuming we have. I have. Many sermons concerning the armor of God and taking it apart and so on. And they're all good because we need to have on the armor of God. Then he goes on and says, but verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. See, that's actually different levels in the realm of the enemy. And you find this some more in the Old Testament and different places. Yeah, different rankings. Thank you, Randy. I like when you help me with words. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of this, take up the whole armor of God. Now, if we're not careful, we put a lot of focus on verse 12 of what these things are. And if we focus on them too much or meditate about them too much, after a while they become big in our lives. After a while, they can become bigger, and they are in many people, many Christians' lives. These things, the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, is bigger than the kingdom of light in their thinking. Now, Donna had sent us a picture. Donna, she enjoys birds. Have you ever noticed that? Anybody else knows that she enjoys birds? Well, we didn't know that till we again had contact with her, and since then, she found out that we love birds as well. Especially I do. I'm a bird watcher. I try to learn about birds and could tell you stories about why the birds act the way they do and so on, because I've watched them. I especially like bluebirds, not the blue jays. I like them too, but that's my favorite, one of my favorites. You know, the little bluebirds. They're so cute and they're just awesome. And Donna has a whole flock coming to her feeder. And so she keeps sending us pictures of all these birds. And the other day she sent a picture. She also has squirrels. And she has sent pictures that pretty much have convinced me that the squirrels at her house are Christian squirrels. Because they sit there, and when they're trying to eat, it looks like they're praying. They're actually eating, but it looks like they're praying. So I'm pretty much convinced that they're Christian squirrels. I'm not real fond of squirrels. To Donna's chagrin, I'm not real fond of squirrels, but if they're Christian squirrels, I'd better be a little bit more fond of them. Because maybe, I even told her one time that she needs to disciple them and make sure that they're living for the Lord. So we have fun with this, as you can tell. But recently, I think it was last week or so, she sent me a picture, and on her deck, there's a railing, am I right? A railing on her deck. And over here on this side, we were going to try to show it this morning, but the picture wasn't quality enough. If we blew it up, it would have just been blurry. So I'm going to try to explain it to you. Why don't you come up and explain it? You have a mic for right here?
Well, the one morning, I just happened to look out the deck, and near sat this hawk, and probably from...
And it wasn't Bob Hawk.
No, this was a Cooper. Yeah,
I couldn't pass
this was
that
a up. I was a little slow on it. A Cooper's hawk. So from head to tail, he was about 20 inches. He was huge. And I'm looking at him, and he was staring intently this direction. And I thought, I got to get a picture of him. I don't like hawks, but I want to get a picture. And I kept thinking, he is really staring at something. So I went like this, and here... There was this little squirrel sitting, and he looked like a little lawn ornament because he was not even breathing. He was holding his breath, and he was holding his little paws. It looked like he was praying.
That's what I mean. They're Christian.
Yes. He understood what to do. But I stood there, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. All the other bird, there was not another bird on the deck. Because whenever hawks have shown up, they disappear. And I think what happened, this squirrel just flew up in there, he's sitting, and they just stared at each other. It was so intense. So I tried to get a picture, and it was just really hard to focus. But anyway, I thought, what am I going to do? Because I've seen what these hawks can do. One came and took one of my mockingbirds one time. It's horrible. So he sat there, and he did not move. And I have a habit when I see things like this, it's like it turns into a Bible story. So boys and girls, you're going to hear a story now. So I walked over quietly, and I thought, what am I going to do? Because if he moves abruptly, the hawk's going to get him. And all I felt, I just went over and went tap, tap, tap. And the hawk just left. I mean, and the squirrel just sat there. He didn't move. So I started to think about it, and the first scripture I thought of was, be still and know that I am God. And that's what that squirrel just froze. But the thing about hawks, I was reading about them, and I was sharing this with Dan this morning, that they will look for birds or anything that's unaware. They're unaware.
They're not circumspect.
Yeah, they're not. Yes. So I was meditating on 1 Peter 5:8, where it tells us, Peter said, be sober, be watchful, for the devil prowls, seeking who he can devour. So this squirrel and this hawk were having a real stare down. But the thing of being still, I started to meditate on many times our response to when we don't know what to do, we just freak out and do dumb things. We don't think. We get anxious. We do dumb things. It's not what God would have us to do. So I was looking in Ephesians 6:13, as we're in the voice, it said, and this is why you need to be head to toe in the full armor of God, so you can resist during these evil days and be fully prepared to hold your ground. That's one translation. And the other one says, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, stand firmly in your place. So what I saw that day, that squirrel just stood. He didn't move. And he knew enough that that's what you're supposed to do instinctively, I guess.
Yeah.
But... It just really ministered me. I think God can take anything like that and minister to our hearts if we just listen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So you got the picture?
Yes.
So one thing I want to take from that is this hawk was, you know, sitting there, something like that. And this squirrel was sitting there, and he was something like this. So if we're the squirrel, how do we see the hawk? Do we see the hawk much bigger than what we have and the authority we have on the inside? Or do we see us, maybe the squirrel growing real big and the hawk diminishing? How do we view when we say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the enemy, principalities, powers, and so forth? How we see the enemy determines... will determine the victory that we experience in our lives. Because if I see the enemy as being big like that hawk was compared to the squirrel, I'm not going to take the authority because I may not even know I have authority. Or maybe I know I have the authority, but maybe it's just in my head. And I must have it down in here. So that when the enemy comes, we're ready. And we don't have to freak out. Like that squirrel, that's what they do. Even birds will do that. When there's a hawk around, you either find if the bird is caught before the hawk, like lands on a branch, and it's at the feeder, it'll just sit there, real still. I've seen that. And like she said, they're looking for somebody that's unaware. And that's exactly what the enemy is trying to do. So if we are unaware of him and his tactics and his schemes, you get it? Then he can attack, like it says in 1 Peter. We'll go to there a little bit later. So how do we see the enemy? Now look at this. Here it says again that we, where am I at here? That we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I mean, we do not, this is really talking about physical. This spiritual believing, the spiritual walk in faith, the spiritual part of it, you cannot do it in the flesh. And because the enemy, because of the enemy, Satan and all his demons, and whatever the enemy may be, because they are in the spiritual realm, we cannot fight them with physical things. So we need to be in the Spirit of God, which is in the spiritual realm. And if we try to fight these things in the physical, you'll be fighting against people. Right? And we're trying to come against people, which we usually don't have success when we come against people. But if we come against the spiritual forces that are behind that person, we can take authority over those forces. May it be a child that isn't serving God. And we can pray into the spirit realm to stop the forces of darkness that are working and the spiritual lies that are in that person's life. We can take control of them. Like it says in Corinthians, it says that we can pray that the enemy would get his hands off, I'm putting in my own words, that they may see the glorious light of the gospel. We take authority over the darkness that they may see the glorious light of the gospel. When they see the glorious light of the gospel, that brings them to a position where they have to make a decision. We cannot force them to make a decision, but we can sure put them in a place where they see the gospel and the goodness of the gospel, and the decision may be quite easy for them. And that's why we pray for unbelievers. That's how we pray for unbelievers. That's why we pray, send laborers into the harvest. Because we're saying, Lord, send someone to give them the good news. Maybe that someone is me. Maybe it's not. Or maybe it's many people coming into that person's life. But a lot of that is, can I say the word, directed by the prayers of God's people? Because I found Jesus because somebody prayed for me. You found Jesus because somebody prayed for you. That's why God says, ask. Ask of me. Somebody says, well, why do we have to ask God if he already knows everything? Because the way things are set up in the authority realm, in that he has given authority to man, then man gave it over to the enemy, that has not changed. And so then for God to come back in, he has to be asked to come back in to work in the realm where we live. Does that make sense? And he's not just going to come in and take over people's wills. If he would, everybody'd be saved. But he gives everybody a choice. But our prayers can make a difference in people's lives, in the choices that they make. They still have to make the choice because we can't force that. And that's why when we pray for people, you have to be careful that we don't get discouraged because we think God's not hearing our prayer. God is hearing the prayer. He's working. He's working in the spiritual realm. But that person still has to make the decision. That's why sometimes when you pray for a person, like for instance, suppose a person has a demon and needs to be cast out. We've have experience in those areas, especially in other countries. But you know, if that person doesn't want to get rid of the demon, there's nothing you can do about it. Because you can't override a person's will. You can still pray that the person would get to a place where they don't want it anymore. All right, I'm kind of getting off. So look at this. Now, principalities, powers against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Every realm, every level of authority in the kingdom of the devil, in the kingdom of darkness, I believe is included right here. Every level in that hierarchy that the enemy has is included right here. So there's nothing left out. And you'll see why I'm saying that. There's nothing left out. So because of this, sometimes, and because of how people view the enemy, they think he's so big, and they think there's this tremendous battle going on between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is almost winning, or the devil is almost winning, and God is just a little ahead of him, and that's why he wins. That's the picture a lot of people have. It's like we're playing baseball or something, and we're tied, or maybe a hockey game, and you're tied, and it goes into overtime, and it's like, oh, both sides are almost winning. You follow me? But that's not the picture we should have. And I'll show you. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I don't know if you've noticed by now that I love the book of Ephesians. There's so much in the book of Ephesians. Tremendous. I mean, concerning our salvation, concerning our walk with the Lord, there's so much. But look what it says here. It says in verse 20, or let's start at verse 19. This is the prayer that we use many times, where it says, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding, and so forth, that we may know what our inheritance is. This is a prayer we pray for each other. We pray it over ourselves, especially pray it for other believers and other people, your family, or whatever it may be. And then it goes on and it says that we would know what is inheritance of the saints. And then it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. So now it's talking about believers, according to the working of his mighty power. So it's also saying that we would have an understanding of what power and what authority we have on the inside in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You agree with that?
Yep.
You can see that. I'll say it again. It is so important. It is praying that you would know, that Joe would know, or that Luke would know, that he would know the power, or understand the power, have an understanding of the great power that is within him, or within us.
Absolutely.
It's called the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's called the presence of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That's on the inside of us. So there's this great power that's on the inside of us. It's the same power, the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yes.